Thanks for waking up with WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Centers running everything perfectly on the other side of the glass. I wish I had could say the same on this side, but I've been with us now. Dr. Glenn Finney's on the line. It's amazing. It's taken me so long to meet him. He's been kind of out there talking about dementia and Alzheimer's and brain neurology and really just making sure that this is brought up and talked about and people get education around here. He's the director of Geisinger's Memory and Cognition Program. His reputation precedes him. Glad to finally talk to you, Dr. Finney. Thanks for calling in.
Mark, my pleasure. Thank you for having me on and giving me an opportunity to outreach to your audience on some of these important issues.
Well, you've done all kinds of education that's generally available and at street level terms for people, so we appreciate you helping out. There's a particular type of dementia that popped up when we talked about Bruce Willis last month, the frontotemporal, dementia. I might not even be saying it right, but introduce us to that particular ailment, then we'll look at some other forms of dementia.
Yeah, you're saying it pretty well, and it is a mouthful. You know, first off, I got to say, I just am so thankful to Bruce Willis and his family for, you know, sharing a little bit of what they're going through and shining a light on this condition. It's not the most common form of dementia, but in those younger than like 60, 65-year-olds, it's no less common than other forms of younger onset dementia. You know, and his story started with them saying about aphasia, which is a term we use for a neurologic problem with language. So not just being able to, you know, pronounce your words, but something deeper in either how you express language or understand language. And you know, when we're talking about things like you mentioned frontotemporal dementia, which, you know, because, you know, being a brain doc, I use these very nitpicking terms. I love calling it frontotemporal lobar degeneration, and I'll tell you a little bit about that later. But, you know, when we're talking about things that start with language that are slowly progressive, what we call neurodegenerative diseases, they come in three main categories right now of what we call primary progressive aphasias. Two of those three are in that frontotemporal dementia or frontotemporal lobar degeneration group, and one of them is actually most often caused by the underlying damage that we see in Alzheimer's disease. You know, and similarly, to get it really confusing, Mark, of the frontotemporal dementias or frontotemporal lobar dementia degenerations, two of those three are primary progressive aphasias, having that language part, and then there's a last one that doesn't really even have much involvement in language. So it does get complicated, but you know, that's why it's always good if you see any changes either in your ability to produce or understand language, changes in your personality, changes in your memory and thinking. And the key there is changes. That's really when you want to talk to your doctor. It may be nothing. One of the very common things people experience is a little slower pulling up names, pulling up words year by year as we get age and older. But if you see changes, it's always good to just talk to your doctor about it. Check it out. Might be nothing, but you might need more help. So it's always good to check.
Well, just see changes. Everybody will see changes as they get a little bit older. Well, first of all, is it really normal to become forgetful or to sort of suffer a little cognitive decline as you get older?
Well, you know, there's a lot of literature and studies looking at this, and it's not real clear that with, you know, just perfect health that you necessarily have to lose abilities. What we have found in a lot of studies is the one thing that goes down year after year is what we call processing speed. So it's not so much you can't do the things you used to be able to do, you just need a little more time. I'm sure all of us have experienced that. Even 22-year-olds will tell you they maybe not quite as quick as 20-year-olds. In fact, they did a cool study and it kind of talks a little bit about language writing and naming, where they took college students and they had them name celebrities. Like, they'd show pictures of Bruce Willis, for example, right? And they, before they did the study, they asked them to name them their first names. They asked them on a survey, well, how many people by this first name do you know? How many people by John, by Bruce, by Robert, you know, Marilyn, you know, Roberta, you know? And they found that the more people you knew by the same first name, the longer it took you to pull up the name of the famous person. So I always like to think, well, yeah, our processing speed gets slower as we go in life. It takes us longer to memorize, longer to pull back memory, but to a certain degree, maybe it's because we just know a lot. And so you could call that sort of the price of wisdom. But if you're, even when given all the time in the world, not multitasking, not distracted, if you're still having problems memorizing something or pulling something up from memory or concentrating or thinking straight, that may not be healthy, at the very least. And there may be some other condition, perhaps medical condition, interfering with that ability. And if you see it, just check. Just get checked out, you know. And in fact, in older individuals, you know, more and more in the field, I think we are moving towards. And, you know, one of my other hats is I'm the board member for the Greater Pennsylvania Chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. And more, you know, organizations like that and my field are seeing the value in doing, you know, annual screenings once you get past a certain age. You know, just little tests to make sure nothing's slipping through the cracks.
You can do self-screening. Is that probably a good idea for anybody, anytime, any age, by the sound of it? Do some screening.
Yeah, I think being on top of it's good. You know, there are some things you can do, like, for example, online and stuff. And, you know, they're not necessarily the best. We still haven't cracked the code on having the perfect tool to screen for problems. But challenging yourself, seeing how you're doing, and if you think, oh, you know, that's not what I would have expected, doesn't hurt to get checked out. Now, just checking on yourself and kind of challenging yourself, that's good. Just don't self-diagnose yourself.
Is there any way to avoid dementia?
That is a great question. And, you know, another, just to put it out there, another great question that I get all the time in the clinic is, what even is dementia, right? So just to put it out and then what you can do about it, you know, really dementia itself is any changes to brain function in the higher brain areas of things that we do, particularly human. That's what a behavioral neurologist like me studies, things like language, like what's happening with Bruce Willis, consciousness, memory, personality, tool use. You know, if you have multiple changes in those areas or other higher brain areas that affect your real world ability to function, you know, your ability to handle your finances, drive, you know, take care of your independence, you know, that already is starting to get into where we start worrying about a dementia. And there are many diseases that can cause it. When you're 65 and older, the most common is Alzheimer's disease. Second most common is vascular dementia, which is caused by either little tiny blood vessels getting clogged up or strokes. You know, people don't always think of multiple strokes as being a form of dementia, but it is the second most common. That one, you know, by some studies, like 80-85% preventable dementia due to vascular disease. And what we're seeing is a commonality starting to emerge. It's not absolute, but for many of the types of dementia, like Alzheimer's disease, vascular dementia, Parkinson's disease dementia / Lewy body dementia, which are kind of in the same bucket, we find that good diet, good exercise, keeping intellectually active, challenging your brain, learning like a young brain, and believe it or not, socialization, being socially active. All of these are critical protective factors and may help to lower your risk for dementia down the line. You know, other, I think, important things are, you know, avoiding vascular risks in general, like smoking, keeping your blood sugar, your blood pressure good, keeping your cholesterol good. Believe it or not, avoiding, and if you're having problems struggling with things like depression, anxiety, treating those early on may actually help reduce your risk. Hearing loss is actually an emerging one, so making sure you're taking care of your hearing, and if you're having hearing problems, getting checked out. So, you know, we're identifying more and more things, but it all kind of cluster around this idea that, you know, to help keep your brain healthy. And you know, I'm involved in a initiative with the American Academy of Neurology, really to define and promote brain health, you know, really internationally. You know, this idea that the healthier you live and the healthier you keep your brain, you know, the less at risk you are for dementias and other age-related diseases. Now, for what, you know, Bruce Willis is going through, you know, with a, if it's in this frontotemporal lobar degeneration category, little less common and a little less clear what the factors are risk factor wise for it, but you know, these other brain health factors probably don't hurt and could help.
Fantastic. And I noticed you didn't mention sleep, but you have in some of your other talks.
Oh, you're right. No, you got me, Mark. Sleep is very important, and also if you're having problems potentially like with snoring, get checked out for sleep apnea. Treating sleep apnea is important for vascular brain health, and good quality sleep is important. There's actually some very interesting research in Alzheimer's disease. One of the main proteins in that may be cleared, you know, from your brain a little bit more during your sleep cycle. So, you know, we still haven't fully understood that story, but, you know, it does hint that sleep's important.
Well, yeah, you mentioned it in one of your previous talks, so we always appreciate hearing the sort of the full range of things that we can control. Diet, fitness, and exercise, really, you know, sometimes our fitness or different docs up there talk about it, but it is the through line through every single health condition we ever talk about. You know, eating soundly, getting good sleep, and staying fit and movement. Well, Dr. Finney, believe it or not, this is the end of our remarks now, but what I will do is I'll bring the recording up onto the campus. We'll talk for 20 or 30 minutes, exhaust this topic, let folks have a go-to place. We'll air some of it and finish this great conversation about dementia. But thank you so much for this time, and we'll meet again.
All right. You take care, Mark, and give my best to your listeners.
All right. Thank you very much. Dr. Glenn Finney, director of Geisinger's Memory and Cognition Program. He's got some Geisinger videos that you can look at that relate to dementia and Alzheimer's and that Pennsylvania regional Alzheimer's group that he talked about. So you can check that out. And some educational information that's available probably at geisinger.org.